Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, Texts 36 and 37. 36 is on the board, yes? Vishnurva. Vishnurva sadvasokim nu. Karishyat asamanjasa. Sohridam dustyajam pitror. Ahadya panchahayana. Vishnurva sadvasokim nu. Karishyat asamanjasa. Sohridam dustyajam pitror. Ahadya panchahayana. Vishnurva sadvasokim nu. Karishyatya samanjasa. Sohridam dustyajam pitror. Ahadya panchahayana. Vishnurva sadvasokim nu. Vishnurva sadvasokim nu. Karishyati asamanjasa. Sohridam dustidam pitror. Ahayad panchahayana. Vishnurva sadvasokim nu. Krishyatya samanjasa. Sohridam dustyajam pitro. Ahadya panchahayana. Very good. Ladies, please. Vishnurva sadvasokim nu. Ahadya panchahayana. Please repeat, Vishnu, unto Vishnu, Va, either. Sadhu. Good. Aso. This. Kim. Whether. Nu. Indeed. Karishyati. Will do. Asamanjasaha. Not trustworthy. Sohridam. Affectionate relationship. Dustyajam. Difficult to relinquish. Pitro. Of his father and mother. Ahat. Gave up. Ya. He who. Panchahayana. Only 5 years old. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although Prahlad is only 5 years old, even at this young age, he has given up his affectionate relationship with his father and mother. Therefore, he is certainly untrustworthy. Indeed, it is not at all believable that he will behave well toward Vishnu. Text 37. Paro apyatyam hrita kridyato shadam svadeha jopyamaya vatsuto hita tindyatarangam yarutatmano hitam shesham sukham jivati yad vivarjanat. Although a medicinal herb, being born in the forest, does not belong to the same category as a man, if beneficial, it is kept very carefully. Similarly, if someone outside one's family is favorable, he should be given protection like a son. On the other hand, if a limb of one's body is poisoned by disease, it must be amputated so that the rest of the body may live happily. Similarly, even one's own son, if unfavorable, must be rejected, although born of one's own body. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed all devotees of the Lord to be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than trees. Otherwise, there will always be disturbances to their execution of devotional service. Here is a vivid example of how a devotee is disturbed by a non-devotee, even though the non-devotee is an affectionate father. The material world is such that a non-devotee father becomes an enemy of a devotee son. Having determined to kill even his son, Hiranyakashipu gave the example of amputating a part of one's body that has become septic and therefore injurious to the rest of the body. The same example, of course, may also be applied to non-devotees. Chanakya Pandit advises, Tyaja Durjana Samsargam Bhajasaru Samagamam. Devotees actually serious about advancing in spiritual life should give up the company of non-devotees and always keep company with devotees. To be too attached to material existence is ignorance, because material existence is temporary and miserable. Therefore, devotees who are determined to perform tapasya, penances and austerities, to realize the self, and who are determined to become advanced in spiritual consciousness, must give up the company of atheistic non-devotees. Prahlad Maharaj maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father, Hiranyakashipu, yet he was tolerant and humble. Hiranyakashipu, however, being a non-devotee, was so polluted that he was even prepared to kill his own son. He justified this by putting forward the logic of amputation. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakaramayam Dadati Svaparantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is Hiranyakashipu speaking, by the way, putting forward the logic of amputation. As soon as someone is no longer satisfying your senses, as a challenge to your philosophy of life, cut them out. Get rid of them. It's something that we have to do as well. Chanakya Pandit advises, Tyaja Durjana Samsargam Bhajasadu Samagamam. Someone who's serious about advancement in devotional service and spiritual life will cut out association with materialistic persons. But we hear that and it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. Perhaps for some of us, especially those who are new, it sounds very intense, extreme. I recall myself that when I was beginning my attempts at devotional service in New Zealand, in one sense I was very fortunate that I was very far away from my family, particularly my mother. I feel like I have to bring my mother up in as many Bhagavatam classes as possible so that you all will give her your blessings. Because she was very, opposed to the practice of devotional service, being a strict Catholic. And I recall I would call her about once a year to say Merry Christmas and things like that and tell her a little bit about what I was doing. And, oh my God, the sort of language that came out of her mouth was incredible. She would scream at me. I won't repeat all of it here. She would scream and yell. I can't even intonate some of it because it would be a little bit too obvious what she was saying. And she'd slam on the phone and curse me and curse Krishna and curse all the devotees. And it was all quite horrible and difficult to deal with. But I would just take a very humble position, just trying to be very tolerant and say, okay, Mom, we'll call you next year. You know, love you. And in time, naturally, she came to change. As everyone does in our families. Well, in most cases, in our families, they change because of experiencing the character of the devotee. Like we see in this example of Prahlad Maharaj, his philosophy is totally different from his father. He maintained an attitude of non-cooperation. That doesn't mean that just because one has to be humble and tolerant, that therefore you have to go around acquiescing to the materialistic desires of every person we run into. But we can maintain an attitude of non-cooperation and still remain tolerant and humble. Prahlad Maharaj is a great example of this. His father is a very special case, however, and didn't come around, so to speak. But this is our prerequisite for serious devotional service. Prabhupada says here, devotees who are actually serious about advancing in spiritual life should give up the company of non-devotees and always keep company with devotees. You know, but that challenges us because we don't want to live in this world being fearful, feeling restricted in any way. In fact, if we look very deeply, we might find that many of us, we came to, you know, our attempts at spiritual life to put an end to that sort of anxiety. This person is bad for me, this person is good for me. And wanting to just kind of, you know, just love freely and not have to worry about all that sort of stuff anymore. Hare Krishna. You know, we want to live in this world just very free, without any sort of anxieties. Could this person be bad association for me? Could I be under the influence of Maya in this circumstance, in this Sangha? I mean, does that sound very spiritual? Our first thought would be like, no, that sounds like the same anxiety I was dealing with in my, you know, material existence. But if we're intelligent, we'll recognize that actually that practice of being conscious of the influences in our life is a sign of real love for Krishna. To always be careful about protecting that seed of devotion which is in the heart. Right? Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagivan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Our Guru and Krishna himself have planted the seed of devotion in the heart. It's a very special gift. But it's our responsibility to water it, to take care of it. Naturally, when you're growing anything, weeds also spring up, all sorts of things that you don't want. And it takes a lot of effort to keep it healthy, to keep it going. And so someone who really cares for that gift, who values the gift of devotional service, will be very careful to protect it. What sort of influences are on that bhakti lata bij as it's growing? And how does that influence come, which can be detrimental or positive? Mostly through the ears. When we're talking about Sangha, either Sadhu Sangha or Jana Sangha, which means spiritual association or materialistic association, it's mostly affected through the ears. As Vaisheshika Prabhu gave the nice example, living in the Bay Area, I come from the Bay Area as well, so I can relate, that on all the storm drains in the streets and on the sidewalks and whatnot, you'll see these spray-painted signs, no dumping, flows to Bay. Everything flows into the San Francisco Bay ultimately. They don't want people to pour paint and chemicals and things down the storm drain and pollute the bay. And so Vaisheshika Prabhu was pointing out that similarly we have this bay, it's our heart. And we can dump so much stuff in there through the ears. And it can make that whole environment toxic, poisoned really. And it becomes very difficult to execute devotional service while we're simultaneously cultivating so many materialistic desires. So in the association of materialistic persons, you constantly have to hear about their plans for sense gratification, right? Their hopefulness. Prabhupada once said, in this material world, there's not much happiness, there's only hopefulness, hopiness. They're hoping, oh, I'm going to enjoy this way, I'm going to enjoy that way. What do you think, you know? And you kind of have to get into it. Or they're talking about the giants. Again, I'm from the Bay Area, so all my friends, you know, they're going off about the Giants. Apparently they're doing well in the World Series or something. I don't really know anything about it, how it works. Then they're saying, oh, isn't it great, you know, naming this player and that player, and isn't he awesome? And it's, you know, by hearing these sound vibrations, it cultivates more and more material desires to act in a certain way, to identify in a certain way with the body, with materialistic aspirations. And so we have to be very careful about those sound vibrations that are coming in. Very, very careful. And as I said, that's a sign of real love, to be on guard all the time, to be protective of our devotion for Krishna. If you value that gift that was given, you'll protect it. Like, it reminds me of this one boy in New Zealand, a wonderful devotee, a young man though, who, you know, he's like anyone who's in his young 20s, is very excited and frequently agitated, especially by members of the opposite sex. He's new to bhakti and he's trying his best to stay focused, to stick to the vows and the practice. And this young boy, Thomas, he works a job at a government bookstore selling books for mostly university students. And, you know, here he is, he's just struggling to keep it together. He's trying to chant his 16 rounds in between his work breaks, you know, at the library, at the bookstore, whatever. And, you know, he's trying his best. And he said that one day the staff put the only other staff in the building with him was this very vivacious young lady, 18 years old, very, very friendly. And he said he was just having such a hard time. You know, he's trying to chant. He's the only person there with this young girl, and she's very, very, expressive and open. And, you know, he's struggling, and he's thinking, oh, this is such anxiety. You know, I have to get out of here. He was telling me his only relief was to cut out and every break he could get and go out into the side and chant some extra rounds as intensely as possible, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It's not easy for a young man. But he would go out into the courtyard around this building where the books are being sold, and there's a security guard who works there. She's patrolling the shopping complex. Not a young woman, but she's what they call in New Zealand, I'm not sure if they call it the same thing here, a cougar. Does anyone know what a cougar is? I won't have to repeat it then, thank you. So she comes up to young Thomas, and here's Thomas, you know, chanting, and he's trying to keep his mind focused on Krishna, you know, experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness in complete anxiety. And this woman comes up to him, and, you know, she's starting to get real friendly too, you know. She said, hey, you know, you're a good-looking boy. Did you know I'm a cougar, you know. My last boyfriend I had was only 20 years old, you know, showing off about how she goes for the young men. And he's like, you know, suddenly he's in complete anxiety. He says, oh, no, you know, even the security guard's going after me now, and you know, there's no peace. I can't get it inside. I get it outside. And so he's running away. He said that he's thinking, oh, as soon as I get off work, you know, I'm just going to have to dive deep into devotional service for real relief. Relief from this anxiety. I'll go out on Sankirtan. This is his plan. I'm going to go out on book distribution. Real peace. And so he goes out on book distribution in Manners Mall, nice place in Wellington. And he's out and he's giving out some books to someone. And this man stops, and Thomas is there. He's describing the books and how important it is. And the man, you know, he's thinking about it. And he says to Thomas, he says, you know what? I've just been diagnosed with, you know, some sort of terminal illness. I've only got about 2 years to live. And what I'm thinking right now is that you are so cute, I'd love to take you home with me right now. This man starts going after him, you know, in the middle of the street. And Thomas is like, oh no, I'm getting it inside, I'm getting it outside, I can't hide anywhere. And he's describing to me how he's just in constant anxiety, trying to be on guard for Krishna. But actually, it's a sign of real love, it's real devotion. To think that I'm respecting the vows, honoring the vows of my spiritual master, to follow four regulative principles and to chant. And I always want to be conscious of that, to be careful of that. And from that attitude of duty and commitment, there's potential for real love and devotion to grow. You know, we don't want to take bhakti as something very cheap. It's born out of duty and commitment. Krishna emphasized this in Bhagavad Gita. Perform your duty, equipoise, without considering the results. This is perfection in yoga. So when we give this, when we have this opportunity to show duty and commitment to Krishna, then that bhakti lata bij, that seed of devotion, will start to sprout in a very strong way. It will become very strong. So that's that should be our concern. That should be our meditation. For many of us who have to associate with persons who are not inclined to bhakti and who in fact are very atheistic and even antagonistic, we should be very concerned about protecting our devotion by not allowing them to dump into our storm drains, which flows to bay. And then at the same time, if we don't associate with materialistic persons, how will anyone come to Krishna consciousness? How will someone take up bhakti if we don't give our association? Lord Kapiladev said to his mother, Pasangam ajaram pasam atmano kavayo vidu sa eva sarushu krito moksha dwarami pavritam. He says that every learned person knows that the worst sort of attachment for a conditioned soul is attachment to material things, having these desires to acquire material things. But that same attachment, when it's applied to the self-realized sages, to the devotees, that attachment opens the door of liberation. This is our responsibility in Sankirtan, is to allow persons to become attached to us so that they can elevate in Krishna consciousness, so that they can be inspired in devotional service. So how do we deal with this? How do we reconcile this difficulty? We're meant to give up the association of materialistic persons, at the same time, give association for spiritual benefit. This is the constant challenge and meditation for someone who's absorbed in Sankirtan. How to catch the big fish without getting wet. It's like when you're going out fishing, you know, and you got one of these big ones, you want to pull it in without being pulled in. It actually happens to some people when they go for marlins and things like that. They're very strong, you know, and you can be trying to hold it in, and this proud guy's thinking, I'll do it with my bare hands, pull this fish in. He might get pulled in himself. So similarly, in our attempts to share Krishna consciousness, to preach in various environments and circumstances, we can become affected by those same persons whom we're trying to help, and even lose our own focus. So how to reconcile this difficulty? It's a constant endeavor, of course, and it takes guidance. But at least here, in regards to this verse and purport, we're seeing a wonderful example in the character of Prahlad Maharaj, that although he maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father, he was very tolerant and humble, and therefore unaffected. Mahaprabhu himself as well demonstrated this attitude, how to deal with non-devotees, and how to maintain the right attitude. As some of you know, he was traveling through Varanasi, and there were these hundreds of Mayavadi sannyasis who were quite blasphemous of him, actually. They were criticizing him and saying all sorts of nasty things. And they were impersonalists and therefore quite envious and heinous. And Mahaprabhu didn't want to associate with them. Of course, he's setting an example as a Vaishnava. What do we need to do with these Mayavadi sannyasis? It's got nothing to do with me. And yet there's this one Brahmin in particular who was always imploring him, please come to my home. I've invited these sannyasis here. I would really appreciate it if you would also come. At some point, Mahaprabhu decided, okay, I'll be merciful to these persons and merciful to this Brahmana devotee. And so he went there. As you know, he did something really remarkable, which was completely, unrecognizable and bewildering to these Mayavadi sannyasis, that when he entered into this incredible assembly of so many, you know, powerful sages and yogis, He didn't take a seat in the same arena like everyone else, but rather he sat down in the very place, yes, it's a painting up on this board here. He sat down in the very place where he washed his own feet, which would be considered, you know, quite dirty, really. And he's the sannyasi, so he deserves all sorts of respect and reverence. And yet he sat down in this very low position. And these Mayavadi sannyasis, particularly Prakashananda and the Sarasvati, they were bewildered. They're thinking, you know, we are sannyasis and we get so much respect and reverence and people are supposed to worship us and bow down and offer us things and we're having this great assembly. Why would you sit in such a low place? They said, Your Holiness, O Sadhu, what is the cause of your dejection? Why are you so depressed? I couldn't understand his mentality. But it's actually by that attitude of humility, by that incredible display of humility in Mahaprabhu's character, they became affected to the degree that they could come to understand him. And so Prakashananda Sarasvati went up to him and said, you know, please come. Personally extended his hand and rendered some slight little service and pulled him into the assembly. And of course, by that tiny little bit of service, there was enough agyata sukriti to open the floodgates of devotion for all of these sannyasis. So similarly, in our attempts to try to serve others by giving Krishna consciousness, we always need to maintain an attitude of humility and tolerance. When we talk about religious tolerance, you know, it's not just like, you know, I tolerate the fact that I disagree with everybody and maybe I won't argue with you. But tolerating means expressing a real character of appreciation for others, for giving them, expecting from them the same thing that, acting in such a way in the same way that we would expect from them. If we want someone to appreciate what we're giving, to listen to us, to hear us out, then we have to have the ability to tolerate hearing from them. But that takes a lot of skill to not be affected by it. It takes a lot of spiritual strength. And so we always have to learn how to recognize what our capacity is to be able to preach in this way. Otherwise we can become affected. In many situations we have to know when this fish is too big for me to catch and not get involved, you know. But if we continue to see the example of these great devotees like Prahlad, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, then we'll know that there's a lot of hope for being able to affect the lives of others. If we can express this humility, this tolerance, which touches people's hearts ultimately. Because at the end of the day, in Kali Yuga, people aren't so interested in philosophy. You'll find very few persons who are really going to be impressed with an incredible philosophical statement. But when they see one's character, it touches their heart to want to hear more. I remember having an experience once on the street in New Zealand, in a town called Whangarei, when we were traveling around for the Christmas marathon. I was with my godbrother, Balagopal. And we were in this particular town and doing books on this one spot where this really nasty Christian man would come by every single day. I mean, it's really horrible. And he would jump into the middle of the conversations and he'd say all sorts of nasty things and try to break it up. And you know, we were just so exhausted from the marathon effort of trying to distribute books that we didn't get into it with him. We just said, all right, brother, God bless, you know, see you later. And he would curse at me. I'm not your brother and I don't need any blessings from your God, you know. Really horrible guy. Just like, whatever, you know. Just trying to tolerate, just trying to be a little bit humble and continuing the service. And this went on for about 5 or 6 days in a row. The same guy was doing that. And then I recall on the last day, just as we were about to leave Whangarei and go somewhere else, this man jumped into one of my conversations again as I'm showing the book to somebody. And he came up and he was like trembling with a little bit of intensity and excitement. And he said, you know what? I've seen you guys out here, you know, for so many days in a row giving out these books and I just couldn't understand it. And then he had some sort of like epiphany. He was actually crying a little bit. So I went home and I consulted my scriptures, you know, this and that, and it said something about how I'm supposed to be nice to people. I can't remember exactly what he was quoting. Something probably a bit obvious. I'm supposed to be nice to other people and so many things. And so, you know, it's been a real shock for me. And I just want to say that I'm really sorry and I appreciate you. And I want to take you out to lunch to the Hare Krishna restaurant. There's a little Hare Krishna place just around the corner run by Atanu Prabhu. He said, I want to take you out to lunch. I work next to this restaurant. It's a Hare Krishna place. That's what you are, right? I said, yeah, let's go. And so we went to lunch with this man and he bought some books from us. And we certainly didn't try to change him or convince him with any philosophy. But when people see the character and the attitude of devotees, particularly that humility and that tolerance, naturally they become affected, they become attracted to it. Like Krishna says, Yoga yukta vishudatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvanapi nalipyate. One who works in devotion, right, who controls his mind and senses, is a kind friend to all, is compassionate to all living beings, is very dear to everyone, and everyone is very dear to him or her. Such a person, although always engaged, is never entangled. So this is a really good thing for us to meditate on. We want to be engaged in compassionate activities for others, but not to be entangled. And so Krishna says, Yoga yukta visharatma. Be engaged in devotion, controlling the mind and senses. Sarva bhutatma, bhutatma. Being very compassionate to others. If we try our best to give Krishna to someone and maintain that attitude of protection, appreciating how dear it is to have devotional service in ourselves, I promise Krishna will give us the power to do so. Krishna shakti vina nahi tara pravartan. Right? Someone has to be empowered by the Lord in order to preach, to give Krishna to others. Krishna reciprocates with someone who really endeavors in that way. That's why he says, there's no one more dear to me than he who does that, nor will there ever be someone more dear. Because there's risk, there's no doubt, there's risk involved. There's inconvenience, there's anxiety, there's this distress, you know, dealing with these people, and am I going to be affected, and how do I... And we think, you know, I just came to Krishna consciousness and spiritual life to put an end to all that sort of stuff. But this is the real solution. That if someone is dedicated to helping others, who is following the example of so many great devotees, then they'll be completely satisfied in their preaching endeavors. And other persons will be satisfied with them. And they'll also take up Krishna consciousness. So let's keep that in mind. Let's not be too extreme with the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu and simply cut off everyone who's not favorable to our sense gratification, but learn how to become effective administrators of the medicine of devotional service to others, how to maintain an attitude of non-cooperation and yet humility and tolerance, and how to really be dedicated to helping others while simultaneously helping ourselves. This is the exciting career of a Krishna conscious practitioner. Wondering if anyone has any comments or questions on these points, otherwise we'll finish here. Anthony Prabhu?
I don't know what to say to her to kind of maybe be get her more interested in this Krishna consciousness and kind of change the subject from her wanting to talk about mundane things constantly and, I love you so much, remember this and this and this. And it does kind of have an impact, and I'm kind of trying to get away from that. So what would you recommend me saying to her when she comes?
My honest recommendation, and I'm sure there are many more experienced devotees who have more to say, is that especially when dealing with parents and family, we'll be most successful, I think, in giving them the opportunity to learn about Krishna, or to at least appreciate your practice of devotional service, if you just kind of be the son that they expect, rather than preaching to them. Because generally speaking, our parents have a particular perspective of us, and that's not really going to change anytime soon. They're not suddenly going to turn around like Devahuti turned around to her son, Kapila Dev, and accept him as guru. That was a special situation. But I found in my own experience, if you just kind of play the role, just be nice, then they'll come to appreciate Krishna consciousness. Getting back to the point of my mother, very quickly, although she spent so much time screaming and yelling at me, because I just kind of, you know, tolerated and played along and said, okay, love you, Mom, talk to you next year. In time, she completely changed. And she would start sending me these care packages when I was in Australia. she would go on to Krishna.com and buy all sorts of stuff that I don't even need that's in relation to Krishna and mail it to me. It was like coffee mugs and, you know, like those little things you put your mouse, like mouse pad, you know, with like Krishna on it, like all sorts of stuff, you know, T-shirts. And so she completely changed. I certainly didn't preach to her. No way. I'm not going to preach to her. She's nuts. Hare Krishna. But if we just play that role and allow them to be attached to you, then their hearts will change. And that's the important verse, the important point made by Kapila Dev, Prasangama Jarampasam. They're attached to material things, but if that same attachment is applied to a devotee, if you're taking your devotional service very seriously, then that attachment to you will open the door of her liberation. Perhaps someone else would like to add to that. Or change that. Whatever you like, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Yashade Prabhu. Thanks for a very nice presentation. I'd like to touch on the point you made about preaching without getting wet, because it's very important. We're supposed to be a preaching movement. Yes, one has to evaluate oneself and be honest. Try not to be entangled where it's going to be too much for you. But there's one missing element you didn't mention, and that's the higher authority, sanction of higher authority, which is kind of more and more missing in our society. In the early days, there was no question of a brahmachari selecting which program he wanted to go to and just getting up and going and staying out till midnight. That would not happen. You have to always get the sanction of the Tampa president or your guru or some higher authority, and that's kind of missing nowadays. And that's why a lot of devotees find themselves in situations where they shouldn't be. They decide where they want to go and what they want to do, and then they get entangled. So we really need to trust more and more in the higher authority, because the ultimate authority is Krishna. And if we don't see that the control is coming down from Krishna through the chain of authority, then we can't surrender. And that's what surrender is all about. You can't surrender directly to Krishna. You have to surrender through the disciplic succession, through the chain of authority. So if we actually take that seriously and let the authorities direct us, of course, if somebody's gone off and they're going to tell you to go to a butcher shop and kill a cow, I mean, you know that this person is gone. But if somebody's telling you, stop washing pots and go out and distribute books, or stop distributing books and come home and wash pots, whatever the authority tells you, if you get into that mood of surrendering to the authority, then you'll find more and more you feel Krishna's control in your life. But if you leave it up to your whims, oh, there are four programs happening tonight, and I'm going to decide where I go and how late I stay and what I do, and then you're not being guided at all. You're just following your whims. So this is very important that if you're going to go out and preach, preach in a way that you're following the direction of the authorities. So if there are three programs happening and you don't know what to do, you're not sure, ask the Tampa president, where do you think I should go? Should I go to the Kirtan Love Feast, or should I go to the Harinam in Hollywood, or should I go to... Let the authorities decide. Touching on that Kirtan Love Feast, so for instance, it's, you know, a lot of devotees think it's kind of Maya, because, you know, there are so many non-devotees, but that's the whole point. If we don't infest these chanting gatherings, these chanting parties, then we're leaving it to the Mayavadis, who very happily will tell people that they know what bhakti is, and they know who Krishna is, and they're really only promoting themselves. They're not promoting Krishna at all. So the devotees have to be there at these wide open chanting, you know, scenes, so that those who are a little bit serious, they can get proper books, they can get association of devotees, like you said, become attached to a devotee and make progress. But the devotees who go shouldn't do so whimsically. They should ask permission of authorities. Otherwise, you find brahmacharis staying up till midnight, then they can't get up the next day, they can't do anything, they've been affected by somebody they met, and that's basically their own fault, because they're in an environment where they're not supposed to be.
Thank you. Just for the record, since I know I'm sometimes in the middle of certain controversial activities, I do actually speak to Sivasa Prabhu about all of the things that I'm doing, which is why I wasn't at the Love Feast. Just want to put that out there for everybody. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Jani Thai, Go Premanandi.